to 37. It was quiet in the woods. There was a breeze which kept the bugs from bothering them. "What did that shrink say that worked for you?" Sonny said. "Said I couldn't repress a part of myself and expect all the other parts to work well." "Was he a gay shrink?" "No." "How do you know?" Sonny said. "I asked them," Spike said. Sonny smiled. "That would be you," she said. "How you doing with Silverman?" Spike said. "Dr. Silverman," Sonny said. "I can't think of her as Silverman. How you and she doing?" "I feel I'm getting someplace." "You know where yet?" "No." "You'll know," Spike said. "I hope so," Sonny said. "She gay?" Spike said. "That's not germane to our therapy," Sonny said. "Jesus," Spike said. "You got the shrink talk down. You think she might be gay?" "If she is," Sonny said, "she's the lipstickiest lesbian I've ever seen." A little after 8 at night, a small gray Honda SUV pulled up in front of the center and parked on the road. "Here she comes," Sonny said. "You were right," Spike said. After a moment, Cheryl DeMarco came out the front door with two orderlies in white coats. Each held an arm. She seemed passive. Behind them came a tallish man in a business suit with a stethoscope around his neck. When they were near the Honda, Sonny came out of the trees and stood between them and the car. Spike stood beside her. "What's this?" the tallish man said. "We're taking Cheryl," Sonny said. Cheryl showed little interest. "You can't do that," the tallish man said. "Spike," Sonny said. Spike shuffled his feet into some sort of fighting stance and hit one of the orderlies with a straight left to the nose. The orderly let go of Cheryl's arm and put his hands up to his face. He was bleeding. In rhythm, Spike hit the other orderly with a right cross. The orderly fell down. Sonny took Cheryl's arm and led her toward Spike's car. The orderly with the bloody nose took a black leather sap from his hip pocket and tried to hit Spike with it. Spike stepped inside the looping swing and blocked it with both forearms, then hit the orderly on the side of the head with a backswing. The orderly dropped the blackjack as he went down. Spike kicked it away. Spike looked at the tallish man. The tallish man backed away. Both orderlies were now on the ground. "See," Spike said, "we can do that." Spike looked at the tallish man for another moment. On the road behind him, the Honda drove away. Spike ignored it. He looked up the road to where Sonny and Cheryl were getting into his car. Then he looked back at the tallish man. "Dr. Patton, I presume," Spike said. "Yes," Patton said. "I'm in charge here." "No," Spike said, "you ain't." He reached out and yanked the stethoscope from Patton's neck. "Don't hurt me," Patton said. "Fucking fraud," Spike said. He tossed the stethoscope onto the roadway. Then he turned and went toward his SUV, walking sedately. No one attempted to stop him. When he got there, Sonny was in the back seat with Cheryl. Cheryl was quiet, looking at nothing. Spike got in and started the car. "She's sedated," Sonny said. Spike looked in the rearview mirror. No one was following. "Where do you want to go?" Spike said. "My place," Sonny said. Spike headed up the side road toward Route 9. "Why not Paradise?" Spike said. "You got some clout with the cops there, in case there's trouble." "I'm Phil Randall's daughter," Sonny said. "Ah, yes," Spike said. "I guess you got some clout in Boston."
"Detective?" Cheryl said.
"Yes," Sonny said. "Sonny Randall. We talked at the Renewal House."
"Mother,"
Cheryl said.
"You want your mother?"
Cheryl shook her head.
"Okay," Sonny said. "We'll go to my place and you can stay with me until the dope wears off and we can decide what to do."
Cheryl looked at Spike.
"Him?"
Cheryl said.
"Spike," Sonny said. "I'll stay with you too," Spike said.